You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. Good day racing to look forward to. We've got action on the turf at Catterick and Epsom. We've got jumping from Perth as well in the afternoon, and three jumps meetings to finish the day: Fosslass, Taunton and over in Ireland from Fairy House. So plenty to look forward to in both codes. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stevie?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You're looking well, nice and tanned, and I know you've been on your travels and so on.
I have, yes. Well, I've been back, what, 2.5 weeks now, Mark. Feels like I never went away, but but yeah, the tan's starting to fade, so hopefully with the good weather we're having here in the UK, we might be able to top it up in the next couple of weeks before we get the inevitable downpours of the British summer.
Yeah. We've got all that to look forward to.
I know.
Yeah. But we've got some good racing coming up on the flat as well. I mean, the trials last week, it's all starting to change over, but still one or two stories relating to the jumps.
Yeah, they're obviously just coming towards the end of the jump racing, aren't we now, and the flat's really moving up. This is this sort of crossover couple of weeks, I think, for me personally, between sort of the Craven and Newbury kicking things off properly. For me on the flat, and obviously we've got Air and Sandown sort of wrapping things up with the jumps, and obviously we've still got Punchestown to look forward to, but by then it's sort of Guineas week, and yep. I do watch Punchestown, but and I enjoy it thoroughly, having been as well, but yeah, I'm starting to sort of err into flat mode now a little bit.
Yeah, before we move entirely into flat mode though, big meeting coming up at Sandown, obviously AP McCoy's last meeting as well, and they're not going to give him an easy time of things by the look of it. Sprinter Sakura, Cider Grouge, Jan Summersby might all be in the same race as Mr. Mole, which is, well, what a lot of people thought could be AP McCoy's last chance of a winner. So
yeah, it's going to be a good race. I mean, you know, if you take away the fact that it's McCoy's last ride, it's a cracking race, to be fair. The last two winners of that race as well, inside of Grugy and Sprinter Sakura. Summersby's obviously been in Great Heart this year and has run well at Sandown a lot of times in the past. And then Mr. Mole. I sort of like Mr. Mole because he's a bit of a character, really. But if any of those three run to anywhere, even below their best, I still can't see him winning. But it's one of those things, sort of fairy tale stories, that probably will happen. I do think Sprinter Sakura's not the horse he was. He's the least likely of those four that we mentioned to win for me.
I'm very surprised that he's even running again.
Yeah, I'm surprised. There must be something that they're seeing that obviously we're not, because they're carrying on. Things haven't really gone well for Cider Grouge, have they, particularly this season?
He needs rain as well.
Yeah, and he's not going to get any, I don't think, to be honest. Summersby, I think he's probably going to be better with a little bit of rain as well, because otherwise he'll be going pretty quick and, you know, he's not getting any faster as he gets older. And so really, it's quite easy to make holes in all of them for Mr. Mole. It'd be great if he won for AP. I really would be thrilled. And you know, it'd be a great story, obviously, for everyone, to be honest.
Mm. At the same meeting, the Gold Cup on the same card, Leighton Aspel, who's obviously having a good time of things at the moment, he's been booked to ride Lucy Wadham-trained Larev, who likes that Sandown.
He does, yeah. He's got a great course record, Larev, and obviously, Leighton, he's having good times of things at the moment. He's had a really good season. He's got a horse who liked the track. It's going to be a cracking race, judging by the entries, with On His Own entered to run, and Bobsworth as well, and Union East still in there, having fell early on in the Nationals. So, yeah, lots of really good horses in that race. It could be a great, great renewal of that contest as well. So, I am, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to Sandown the weekend. It should be a great day.
Yeah.
Bobsworth in a handicap off 159. Oh, I can feel my fingers being burnt already, Mark, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There's a chance McCoy could ride him, you know, because there's no JP runners. There'll be a lot that are on a low weight because of, if either he or On His Own or Union East run, there'll be a lot that are out of the weights, and so we won't be able to do the weight anyway. And obviously Barry Geraghty's not available. So
imagine that.
Yeah, former Gold Cup winner coming back to glory under the retiring champ. Fill it up now, Mark.
Two people that will enjoy, or at least one of them will enjoy Sandown as well, Nico de Boinville and Sean Bowen.
Well, one of them will.
Yes. Yeah.
To be fair, I do think Sean will probably just edge it over Nico de Boinville, to be honest, for the champion conditional. He's got a 2-2 yeah. winner lead. But I'm sure Nico won't mind anyway, to be honest. He's had a great year, hasn't he? And, you know, big, obviously won the Gold Cup on Koenigsegg, Grade 1 winner at Liverpool as well. He's had a great, great season, so I'm sure he'll still be pretty thrilled come the end of it, even if he doesn't manage to take the top spot. Mm. But they're both really good jockeys. Sean Bowen in particular, he is a future champion jockey. I have no doubt about that.
Very talented.
Oh, yeah. Very talented. Amazingly so, for somebody so young. Mm.
Other news that's come out as we record this on Tuesday morning regarding Punchestown. Mm-hmm. Vitor is going to run in the champion chase on the opening day. First time out of novice company. Very impressive at the festival. Mm. He'd probably win that as well, won't he?
Yeah, should do. To be honest, with side, you know, the best horses we've got aren't as good as they were, and they're all going to run at Sandown at the weekend. So it's not going to. The 2 mile chasers, to be honest, a pretty poor bunch in Ireland this season. The senior ones. So I don't think he'll have a lot to beat.
No.
Undersown might have a harder task in the novice 2 mile chase, to be honest, because they've got some nice novice horses. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I mean, I know William Owen says I don't do this very often, but sometimes it is the logical thing to do, and in this case, it is the logical thing to do. You know, so I think it's good that he's shown a bit of flexibility, because you may not, you know, like to do it. And fair enough, doing it in December or when it's his second run over fences is not a good idea. But, you know, he's had quite a bit of experience now. He's been to a big festival. He's won at Punchestown before. It's coming to the end of the season. And he's got two very good horses, both who want the same trip. And if there's a race for both of them, then go for it.
Why do you think he's gone that way around?
It's an interesting point, actually.
Is it because Undersow's jumping can still be a little bit sketchy? So,
I thought he jumped really well at Cheltenham to be honest, as well as I thought they both jumped really well. Maybe he thinks Vitor's maybe just a little bit more grown up, a bit more ready for it than Undersow is, because he's obviously still, there is still an element of being a bit of a runaway with Undersow, isn't there? So,
yeah,
you know, maybe that's why I think Vitor's a bit more grown up, a bit more professional in his races. I mean, he really was great at Cheltenham. So I think probably that would swing it for me.
Okay, and Hurricane Fly, while we're talking about William Williams runners, might be going over 3 miles.
Yeah, well, he said that he's always wanted him to run him in the French Champion Hurdle, which is over an extended 3 miles and a furlong. And he's banged on about it. He has mentioned it for years, to be honest. But obviously, he always had Quavega, and Hurricane Fly was ruling the roost over 2 miles. So there's never any need. Now he's obviously finds it harder over 2 miles. Willie's got a strong hand in that race again, the 2 miler. And not anything really for the 3 mile, apart from the likes of old Zaypool and Thousand Stars, who are obviously good horses, but not top class horses. So it's worth giving him a try, especially on the better, quicker ground. They've been watering at Punchestown, as everywhere, it's been really dry. So it's going to be good. Maybe a bit of yielding, good to yielding, but that'll be at the very, very worst, I think. So, in you know, on better ground, just when they get him a little bit slower over that longer trip, it's worth a try, isn't it?
Do you think he'll stay?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, he stays 2.5 quite well, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does. I just hope they ride him as though they think he will. Nothing frustrates me more than when they're trying a horse, any horse, whether it's a classics handicap or a Group 1 horse, over a new trip.
And they ride it for the trip rather
ride it for the trip. I'm thinking, well, if you think he'll stay, ride him like they think you'll stay, and then you'll know he'll either win or you'll know that he doesn't stay. Otherwise, you can end up in a bit of no man's land. Tiggy Wiggy's a perfect example for me last weekend. So if they wanted to find out whether she'd stay, they should have rode her like she did. Yeah. And now she plugged on at one pace in third, and you think, well, she kept on all right, but she was still a bit. So you don't really know. So I'd just rather go for it, and you'll know then, won't you? So I hope that they do that with him. And again, it'd be good if he wins.
Will. And then on to the flat, Weatherby have got a first flat fixture coming up on Sunday, and quite a bumper entry, really. I suppose they'll be pleased with that.
Yeah, there will be, obviously, a little bit of history there. You know, I suppose now they're going for it, it's good that it's successful. Still not overly sure myself whether there's a need for another flat track in Yorkshire when you've got
Well, all the other stage flat racing, Weatherby was the only one that didn't. But obviously, you know, it's been given the go-ahead and it's going to happen. So let's hope it's a success. I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
So get a good crowd and some good racing, hopefully some good prize money, which I think the first meeting has got. So let's hope if that's the model going forward, then it's a successful one.
Mm. Look forward to all of that at the weekend and the coming weeks. But I suppose we should probably change our focus to Wednesday's action, shouldn't we?
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Starting in the 2:45 at Epsom, which is the Great Metropolitan Handicapper Class 3 event of a mile and a half. And Stetchworth caught my eye here to start with, Stephen, because very progressive last year. Decent enough reappearance when third, wasn't beaten too far.
No, it wasn't beaten too far at all. That was at Chelmsford, wasn't it, Stetchworth ran. It was really nice and progressive horse last year. And they've left him with Mark Johnston, which I thought was interesting because there's obviously been a bit of sort of change of deployment with their horses and how they feature them. But yeah, I think he's a decent horse. Mark Johnston's horses generally are running well. They're not flying. Everyone sort of said, oh, he's started off really well with his two-year-old. Well, he had the first three on the first day, and then he hasn't had any since. So, you know, and now we're getting to quite a big pool that he's had on since. And generally they've come on for the run. He's had a run, and I think he's going to run a very good race. In terms of challengers, Barwick had two runs here at Epsom last year, won and finished second, and was almost in career best form by the end of the season. He's with a yard that hasn't had many runners, and they're still waiting for a winner, but he's got a good jockey booking, and the fact that he handles the course is always a positive. And Love You Whatever is able to race off a £12 lower mark on turf in this race than he's on the all-weather, where he's improved no end throughout the winter. If he's A, not sort of coming to the end of his tether after a winter campaign, and B, he can translate even some of that ability onto the turf because he's never won on the grass, he's got to be worthy of note in this contest with that £12 swing for racing on the grass. So those are the dangers, I think, but Stetchworth very much the one to beat.
Stetchworth one to beat there. Then on to the 3:20 at Epsom Downs, which is the Derby Trial, a conditions race, a Class 2 conditions race over a mile and a quarter. And I suppose a lot of people are going to be attracted here to Christopher Marlowe, who's unbeaten, previous course winner as well, and currently about 25-1 for the Derby.
Indeed he is, yes. And John Godston and Frankie Dettori have teamed up with great success already this flat season. And he was very impressive when he won here at the end of last year. He was only just sort of quickened through under a hand ride and stayed on nicely to win by just a length, but was value for significantly more. He's got to improve on the bare form that he's shown, because the best form in the race comes courtesy of number 4, Future Empire. Went very nicely at Newmarket. I saw him win that day, and he's a really nice horse. Just touched off in a head-bobbing finish to the Solario, and then finished third when I think he may be just feeling it a little bit come mid-October in the Autumn Stakes. But that's very, very solid group form, those last two runs. And for me, with Saibin Soror going really well early on this season, doesn't always be the case with Saibin Soror, but he's had 4 winners from 11 runners in the last 10 days. 3 others have hit the frame as well. And because he's got the best form, and he's receiving a little bit of weight from Christopher Marlowe, I'm going to side with him over John Gosden's runner.
Okay, taking on the likely favourite there then. Moving on to the 3:55 at Epsom Downs, which is the City and Suburban Stakes, a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a quarter, and a field of 11 here, Stephen, including last year's winner, Sonokian Star, who's had a similar kind of prep, but he'll have to be on his game here against... Well, it's a wide open field, isn't it?
It is a wide open field. He's a horse who won this off 96 last year. He was off 97 this time round. He did go on to win at Goodwood off a mark of 101 and a listed race at Ayr. He ran not too badly 2 starts ago when he was third, but he finished last of 11 last time out at Pontefract. And he's the sort of horse that can bounce back from a run like that. But he's not really one to trust, I don't think, to be honest. And I'm prepared to look elsewhere. I think this might be a slightly better renewal. Mount Logan won first time out last year, which is a positive for the Cumani horses, because generally his don't. If they do, I think that's a fair point. He won a very impressively at Doncaster in September, and Ignore his last run, the heavy ground was against him. I think he could be a decent horse this year. El Kayed dropped significantly in grade. He'd ran exclusively in Patton Company after winning his maiden until last time out, when he finished 7th in a conditions race at Doncaster. The drop in trip and into handicap company
company makes him a little bit interesting as well, I thought. And what about Carlos, of course, in distance winner, who was fourth in the Lincoln. The one that I really like, though, is Im Shavala from the Richard Fahey team. She's a filly right down towards the bottom of the weights with Paddy Mathers riding. She improved rapidly last year. She won four times. The yard are going well. And she also has won here previously as well. So I think her and Mount Logan are the two for me against the field in the City and Suburban.
And the final race we look at is the 420 at Catterick, a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older, 8 of them in the lineup here. We'll start with Piscino, Stephen, who seems to save his best for Catterick, but this is higher grade than what he's not been winning in, so
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah, I think obviously because he's got good course form, you're always drawn to him a little bit, but he is up in grade, as you rightly say, and he's against one or two nice horses here, and I think it could be a bit of a struggle for him. Evanescent, he's also another course winner as well, and he was in really good form at the end of last season for John Quinn. The two, though, I think you've got to be with is the David O'Meara pair, El Khan and Regal Dan. El Khan is the first run for this yard, and David O'Meara's struck already several times this season with horses that he's running for the first time, including at Thirsk at the weekend. He won off just a £3 lower mark at Leicester towards the end of last season as well. He's been competitive off this sort of mark just a couple of years ago. And I think if O'Meara's managed to get a tune out of him, which we know he's very good at doing, he's going to run a blinder. Regal Dan is the other one from that yard. He joined them at the end of last year, and he'd been on the go a lot and didn't run very well first time for them. But again, he's had a break, been freshened up. It's just his second run for them now. He's dropped down the weights considerably throughout last year, but he still ran as though the ability was there. So with the two runners pretty hard to split for me, I'd be looking to split my stakes on the two O'Meara runners and hope that one of them wins. I think one of them will.
O'Meara won this last year as well.
He did.
With Music in the Rain.
He did. Danny Tudhoe rode him. So yeah, they've started well. I think one of them will win, but I can't decide between the two.
Okay, split your stakes there then. Let's have a quick summary, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your thoughts one more time.
Yeah, we'll go to Epsom in the 2:45 mark, where I think Stetchworth, who's progressive, lightly raced, and has already had a run, which I think is key from the Johnston Yard this season, will be hard to beat. In the Derby trial, Christopher Marlowe's unbeaten, but Future Empire brings the best form to the table for the Godolphin team, and Saeb Bin Saror is going well. In the City and Suburban, I think Mount Logan will be a nice horse this year for Luca Cumani, and Im Shavala is a rapidly improving filly for Richard Fahey, and she hopefully can pick up where she left off last year. Whilst over at Catterick in the 420, David O'Meara saddles two runners, both of them having one of their sort of first couple of starts for the yard. Al Carney's first, Regal Danny's second, and I think both of them are going to run really, really well, so I'd split my stakes on those two, because if you back the one and the other one won, I'd be a little bit annoyed.
I think, yeah, I hate it when that happens. Thanks, Stephen. Good stuff. Good to have you back on the podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
Been a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. A good mix of both flat and jumps racing on Wednesday. We've got Catterick and Epsom on the flat. We've got Perth over obstacles in the afternoon, and three jumpers in the evening from Fosslass, Taunton and Fairy House. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.